15.
I know. Appreciate that.
Romans chapter 15.
Yeah. Okay.
Y'all be living in the Mark.
Marty gets in trouble every time.
Every time?
Every time. Romans chapter 15.
Oh.
I think we got to verse 15, I think.
How you doing, sir?
Good, thank you. Doing good.
I think that's where we got to.
Sound good.
All right, let's chapter Romans 15, verse 15. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God. Let's go and read 16, 17, 18, and 19. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ had not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. So 15 through 29, Paul begins to talk about a global mission, world evangelism, talks about going to the Gentiles here. In verse 15 and 16, he starts with a personal accountability. And he starts out by telling us he's a minister to the Gentiles. I wrote down here he was what Moses was to the Jews. Kind of he was the forerunner for the Gentile. And he says in verse 15 and 16 there that his goal was to preach Christ and to see the Gentiles saved and see the Gentiles served. Mm-hmm. He says that in 15, 16. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. And if you'll notice in those three verses, the Trinity's mentioned in those three verses. He mentions God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost. And he preaches Jesus Christ. He tells us that there he preached Jesus Christ. It was the gospel of God through the power of the Holy Ghost. And in that order, some people preach the Holy Ghost all the time, and we're to preach Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Ghost. And so he mentions that there in the scriptures. I was watching, I don't know who it was this morning on TV, but they showed a picture of Mary Baker Eddy. Was that her name? Mary Baker Eddy, science, whatever. And they showed a picture of her. They wouldn't really say anything. They showed a picture and had a little quotation out there beside of it, and then they showed her grave. Then they showed guy started the Mormon religion, Joseph Smith. Yeah. Showed a picture of him, then they showed his grave. And then they showed L. Ron Hubbard, and they talked about L. Ron Hubbard a little bit. It said that he said he didn't really die, that he had learned all he could learn on this planet, and he told him to cremate his body because he was going to leave his body to go to another planet to learn all he could learn. And the guy, the little thing came up and said he left this planet long before he died. It showed his grave.
He by himself.
And then it showed Muhammad's grave. And I was thinking this morning that what sets us apart is the gospel. What Paul's preaching to the Gentiles, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're the only ones that have a resurrected Savior.
Amen.
And we can't go to a grave. He's not there.
That's right.
So look at verse 17. I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. I want you to notice Paul's pride or glory was in what Christ had done.
Right.
His pride and his glory was in what Christ had done in his life. That's what his, where his glory was. Look at Romans 2:17. Let's go back. We don't do enough of what Paul's doing here. I thought about that as I studied this lesson, and I've had this lesson ready for a long time, but this part of the lesson, 2:17. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, makest thy boast of God. Look at 3:27. It's important we look at 3:27 here. Where is boasting then? Is it excluded? By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. So he says there's nothing for us to boast about. There's no reason for us to boast. We didn't do anything. Christ done it all. And so what I was saying we don't do enough of is we don't boast enough about what God or Christ has done in our lives. And we really don't.
Amen.
We boast about everything else. We'll brag and talk about everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And I could use a good example this morning, but I won't. I'm going to be none.
Thank you.
I'm going to be none. But we boast about everything goes on, even individual accomplishments we boast, but we don't brag on Christ like we should.
Right.
We really don't. Paul also was not a self-promoter, but a promoter of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Paul didn't promote himself, he promoted Christ. Colossians 1:18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence.
That's right.
That he might have the preeminence. So Paul was not a self-promoter, but a Christ promoter. Now I think it's important that we look back at Saul and compare Saul with Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Saul has went from being a prideful, religious man to being a humble follower of Christ. And there is a difference. There is a difference between being religious and being a follower of Christ, of being a servant of Christ, being born again. And so it's very important that we not only don't boast, I mean that we boast in God and boast in Christ and what he's done in our life, but not become self-promoters, but promote Christ in our life. But the Bible says when we got saved, we died, he began to live through us. And so he should promote himself through us. Be leery of preachers or people who seem to promote themselves to the point where it makes you uneasy.
Mm-hmm.
We're all human. We're all we all got sin nature. We're all going to be prideful sometimes. That's just reality. Yeah. But I ain't talking about that. But I'm talking about to the point of it makes you uncomfortable.
Right.
Paul was not that part. Go ahead.
Really. Well, Saul, he would have kept going the way he was going if one hadn't gotten his way. He mentioned there in Acts 26, the old King Agrippa, he said, I saw one in the way. Stopped him right there.
Right. That's right.
Life changing. Extreme makeover.
Verse 18 and 19, let's look at them. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem round about Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Wouldn't nothing do with me was Paul's message. It wouldn't nothing to do with me was Paul's message.
Yeah.
Has nothing to do with me. It's all about Christ. It's all about what Christ has done in me and through me. It has nothing to do with me. Even the miracles he performed were to lead people to Christ. Hebrews 2:1-4 there. Let's look at that.
Yeah.
Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest any time we should let them slip. For the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression, disobedience, received a just recompense of reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders, and both divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. The Jews require a sign, Gentiles are to live by faith. We've established that over and over again in this class through Mike, me, Dad's preaching. We all know that. So the can God do miracles today? Sure he can.
Oh, yeah.
He's not required to, though. He's not required to, but he can, and he does.
You don't use a healer either.
Yeah, every time he saves someone, it's a miracle.
Right.
Yeah, amen.
I want to just show you something real quick. I was, I'm teaching Wednesday night, and I've been working on my lesson. I knew I'd teach again sometime, so I started working on a lesson and kind of finished it up last night. But this part of this lesson kind of tied in with that, because I was looking, and I asked Dad this morning if he'd ever heard of this guy, but Paul healed the crippled man in Acts 14. Everybody knows that story. The immediate response was pagan.
Mm-hmm.
The immediate response was pagan. What'd they do? They fell down and started worshiping them.
Right.
That was their immediate response. And then when he starts talking about Jesus and telling Jesus what happened, y'all remember? It all turns bad.
Yeah. Yeah,
things
boy.
Head south fast.
Reproach of him.
There's a guy out north, out west California named Bill Johnson. He's a nutcase. But he's got a church out there, and when he begins to preach, and I don't know how they do it, they've sent people and everything. When he begins to preach, feathers start to fall from the ceiling. He says they're angel feathers.
Mm-hmm.
And then at one point it's just idiotic. But anyway, this street preacher, that would remind you of somebody like
Jimmy Hood
or somebody, he catches this guy come out of his church and begins to talk to him. And he just keeps asking him the question, just tell me when you got saved. And this guy, he can't tell him. And I let Ann watch the little clip last night. And he's got this young girl with him, and she's just laughing hysterically. And just keeps saying God loves everybody. She ends up at one point falling down and get back up. And I told Ann, I said, that's a demonic possession.
Yeah, sure.
That's what that is.
I say them feathers probably coming out of the buzzard. The whole face is probably dead.
So here's I said all that to say this. That Paul here is saying through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem round about Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. So he's telling you that the Jews require signs, Gentiles to live by faith, you got to be careful, I guess what I'm trying to say, about miracles and things like that in our day and age. Mm-hmm. Just because it's a church, and just because some things are happening there, don't mean it's of God. The Bible says, try the spirits.
One of fame, a New Testament, it needs to be really heeded. He said, take heed that no man deceive you.
That's right.
And one of the things Paul mentioned about last days, that they'd be deceiving and be deceived.
Right.
And boy, it's really going on.
Right. I wrote down here, we are to share Christ just like Paul's talking about. It's pretty much the same today, but no apostolic signs. Right. We're to share Christ. And to go out and share Christ and without signs, God wants to give somebody a sign. He can, but I'm just saying that we're to go out and share the gospel. It's by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And so people get confused over what tongues are in the Bible and what tongues are today. And, I mean, you get in this whole messed up thing here. But it's important to remember that at the bottom of the most important thing our job is to do, why did Jesus Christ come to earth?
Give his life a ransom.
Yeah, and so guess what our job is as followers of Christ? The same thing. To convert lost people to Christ.
Yeah.
Look at verse 20 and 21 here. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he has not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. Paul's plan was to reach the unreached.
Mm-hmm.
People wouldn't a member swap.
Right.
He wouldn't want to go steal members from another church.
Right.
And he had a world vision. He wanted the lost people saved. His job was to go to the lost and to go out into the world and see lost people saved. Look at Isaiah 52:15. There's churches that do, and maybe I shouldn't. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which he had not been told them shall see, that they which that had not heard shall they consider. Shall they consider? He said, why'd you pick that verse? Because it's a good picture of what Paul is trying to do. He's trying to get the gospel to all the nations. But you see churches, they'll have a church, and then they'll be able to put another church in that town, another church in that town, another church in that town, and the population's 10,000.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? This don't make any sense. That's that stuff I was talking about earlier. You got to watch. Mm-hmm. Are you trying to win people to Christ, or are you trying to build something? Or is right. It sounds a lot like that Tower of Babel thing to me, mm-hmm. You know, trying to make a name for yourself.
Right.
But you'd be better off, in my point of view, is to put that money in missions. Get somewhere that you can't reach. Right. Go outside of your box and start trying to invest in missions. This is why a church should be mission-minded. Glasgow is not the world.
Right.
Yeah.
Some people think so, but it's not.
I agree with you.
Paul's ministry consisted of church planting, and when he left there, he left when they were witnessing Christians. That's when he left. He went there to train, got witnessing Christians, got people going out and winning people. And we're going to get into these verses down here in just a minute. I love, there's some stuff down here that I think that I'm really trying to get to. Paul was hindered due to being busy with ministry. Look at 22 and 23. For which cause I have been much hindered from coming to you. I like that verse. It's probably one of my favorite verses in this chapter. And you say, why? Because Paul made room for God mm-hmm. to change things. We don't do that sometimes. We come in, even in our church structure, we come in, or even in our lives, we think this is the way it's going to be. Brick and mortar, this is how it's supposed to be. And we don't give God and the biggest blessing. Sometimes God wants to mess up our plans.
Right.
And we don't give God room to do that. We say, well, this is the way this is going to go. Three songs, offering, you know what I'm saying? And in our minds, that's what we think. And we don't give God room to. I thought the communion service last Sunday night was awesome. I love it. Amen. I love the way that that was set up.
Amen.
And so it's just letting God have his way. Stepping back and saying, okay, I know this is the way we've been doing it, but do you want to change anything? Do you want to? I'm not talking all the time. I believe in structure. I believe there should be structured things. I should believe there should be planning. Look at Paul here. You can't read the book of Romans and not see that Paul was a planner.
Right.
But allowing God to hinder, to mess up what he had, tells me something about Paul. He planned but allowed God to change his plan. And I wrote down here, sometimes it's a missing element in our lives and in the church. But as written, to whom he has not spoken, they shall see, and that they have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now having no more place in these parts and having a great desire these many years to come unto you. What about that? If that verse 23 don't put you under conviction about your soul winning, you realize everywhere that Paul's been and he says, having no more place in these parts. He's saying, I don't have nowhere else to go. I'm going to have to go somewhere else. I've done ministered everywhere in these parts. We don't even do a good job of ministering the place we work.
Right.
Have we witnessed everybody that we work with? I mean, that's pathetic. Mm-hmm. When we think about Paul, here he is, and he's been to all these places and witnessed to all these people and been planting churches and he has a zeal about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we can't even... most of us don't even witness to one person a day. You know why? Because it's not in the top of our priority chain. It's really not. And then as I said a few Wednesday nights ago, sometimes we get so structured in our daily walk that we, just like I was talking about in church, we don't let God hinder us. We don't let God come in and mess things up. We're not tuned in to God when we walk in that convenience store where we can't hear God saying, you need to witness to that guy. And so, here's Paul, not having no more place in these parts and having a great desire these many years to come unto you. And so, no more place in this part. We fail to spread the gospel to everyone. every chance we have. I gotta skip over here to work. I'll pick back up on my lesson. All right, verse 24.
I've never really thought about that, but that's good. You know, God works through those hindering moments. A lot of times we look at those as bad things,
yeah.
But maybe we should look at them to, when something like that happens, look around, all right, he's trying to shake things up a little bit. What's getting ready to come?
Show me something, right?
That's good.
Yeah, he mentioned there in Acts chapter 20, he said he ceased not by the space of 3 years to warn everyone night and day with tears. That's pretty good. Night and day with tears, warning them about the wrath to come. And, you know, in Noah's day, I thought about a lot, even this week. The world perished. Only 8 survived. And it's about the way it is right now. The world's going to perish, not by flood, but by fire. It's just going to be a very, very few.
Remnant.
Surviving. Remnant.
But not having no more place in these parts and having a great desire these many years to come unto you. Verse 24, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward by you. At first, I'll be somewhat filled with your company. I want to go back and look at verse 22. Let's go ahead and read verse 26 and 27, 25 through 27. But now I go into Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. For it has pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are, for the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things. Their duty is also minister unto them in carnal things. So I want to wrap everything up with these verses here. Paul begins to tell us of his future plans, and it communicates them some important principles in here in these last verses. Number one, he lets us know in his scripture he has an undying vision for missions. Mm-hmm. If you go to a church, if God tells you tomorrow that you're going to leave here and go to another church, if you go to a church and they don't have a missions program, it's not of God. Leave.
Amen. You're right.
It's that simple.
True.
It's that simple. God is a mission-minded God. You say, some people get confused on what missions are. Missions is just spreading the gospel.
Right.
That's all it is. Right. And helping other people spread the gospel. Number two, he desires to evangelize the lost in the area that he's in. So not only is... Then there are those churches that send money to missions, but they don't do no local soul winning.
Right.
You don't want to be there either. Three, in verse 20, that's in verse... to vision for missions, we see in verse 22, desire to evangelize the lost, verse 27, to pioneer new fields, verse 23. What's that? Looking for new places to get the gospel out. Looking for new places to spread God's word. New places to tell of the resurrected Christ. Verse 4, 24 through 30, we see that Paul is a planner. He does plan.
Mm-hmm.
He has plans. Even though he gives God room to mess up his plans, he has plans. You can read Genesis, and at the end of Genesis, if you say, Scott, I don't believe God's a planner. I don't see. Read the first few chapters of Genesis and tell me God's not a planner. Read Revelations and tell me God's not a planner. He's got this. He doesn't know how to. He was in the beginning. He's in the end. This whole thing's planned out, and it's going to go exactly like he said it was going to go. He's a planner. That's right. Five. As Paul here is telling the church members and telling the place he's going, be involved in financial support. You say, where you get to that? Verse 26 and 27. He's telling them to be involved in financial support. Some people say, well, I just don't believe in that 10% rule. Well, I'll give you some good advice somebody gave me one time. How many's ever heard of the law of the unmentioned? It's a biblical theological thought. Some people say, well, we're not supposed to use musical instruments in the church. They did in the Old Testament, we're supposed to do it in the New Testament. We know who teaches that. But there's this law that proves true all through the Bible. There's this law that proves true all through the Bible, from Genesis all Revelation. If God don't say in the New Testament that I'm going to change this, it stays the same.
Amen. It's good.
Right, brother. It's good.
And so in the Old Testament, it was 10%.
Yeah.
Can anybody show me any place in the New Testament where God says, Let's change this up.
Yeah, let's stop it.
Let's stop it. Yeah. Let's do 2%. Right. Nowhere do you see that anywhere.
No.
It's the law of the unchanged. If God's going to change it, He'll tell you He's changing it in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So be involved in financial support, verse 27, 26. 6, to teach others the joy of giving. You say, where's that at, verse 27? It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are, for the Gentiles have been made partakers of the spiritual things. You say, how's that the joy of giving? Here's the beauty of giving. And it's between you and God what you want to give. I just want to make a point about the law of the unmentioned. You want to give 5, 10, 15, 20, 50%. But here's the joy of giving. I'll tell you the joy of giving. You become a partaker.
Mm-hmm.
You become part of it. You see, by giving to some missionary in Papua New Guinea, you become a partaker of that work that's going on in Papua New Guinea.
Right. True.
By giving to some missionary in Africa, you become part of that missionary's work in Africa, Philippines. And by giving to the local church, you become part of what's going on in that local church.
Mm-hmm.
You say, well, I can't teach, I can't preach, I can't sing, I can't... You can still be a partaker by financially helping the church. So, being a spiritual thing, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. Now, that's pretty good there. But to teach others the joy of giving. So listen to this. Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things. In other words, he said they've helped with the spiritual. Listen to the second part. Their duty is also, this is Paul talking, their duty, talking about the people, the members, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. What's he talking about? He's talking about money.
Yeah.
Right.
Physical things. You're to help them. Food. And whatever they need, you're to help them. And so Paul says, don't just be a partaker in spiritual things, but to help them, you need to help with carnal things too. You say, there is some older ladies in the church, I remember Mammy used to do this, but they'd bake a cake or fix food and take them to somebody.
Yeah.
That's Bible.
Right, amen. Yeah.
That's Bible. Doing stuff like that. And tell you something else she did that I don't remember doing. I don't remember ever bragging about it either. That's Bible too.
Amen.
Unless you want to lose your blessing. I mean, if you want that to be your blessing, then you can brag about it. Now, I'm gonna spend the last 3 minutes on this 30 through 33. I'm not going to read it because it's the second time, but you read it and you'll see what I'm talking about here. Paul is telling him he's getting ready to come to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he asks for a favor. He says, pray. Pray. And he gives 3 things he wants them to pray about, and he tells them how to pray. And so I want to get through chapter 15, but I know I've run through this thing, but he says he teaches that by engaging in prayer, we also become part of another person's ministry. Not just by carnal, by giving money, but by praying for them, we become part of somebody else's ministry. How many believes that God, I'm just going to give you a story. Now, you got a missionary over in, let's use Dad. When Dad went to, where is it he flew to?
Jamaica.
When he flew to Jamaica and that plane went over there and they flew to Jamaica, how many believes that prayers that you pray that God would give him a safe trip over there and safe trip back and God would watch him while he's there? How many believes that works?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you didn't believe it, you wouldn't do it, right? It's a waste of time.
Amen.
So by praying for him that he made a safe trip there and a safe trip back and God blessed him when he's there and that he's seen souls saved, and you believe that God can do that, didn't you just have a part in his ministry while he was there? Sure you did. So he teaches that by engaging in prayer, we become part of the mission. Look, I'm going to read 30, verse 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. And so he talks about here, he says, pray intentionally. Pray intentionally. Directly, definitely, and deliberately. Add me to your prayers. Make it a point to pray for me. Something we should feel guilty for. How many of us had somebody call them and say, I got this going on this week, pray for me? And how many has ever not prayed for them? I'm raising my hand because I've done that. We all have.
Yeah, sure.
We've all done it. That was important to that person, and we shouldn't take it for granted.
Right.
We really shouldn't. Yeah, we should really write it down. I told you one of my old teachers in school said, half a think is ink, write it down. All right, so definitely in delivery, add me to your prayers, make it a point to pray for me. I believe this, God loves to respond to prayers, and Paul understood this. He said, pray for me, because God hears your prayers. Mm-hmm. There's power in prayer. And and here's a good little message outline, if anybody wants to teach or preach. Verse 31 and 32, look what it says. That I may, and we'll end with this, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judah, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace with you all. Amen. He asked for three things for them to pray about.
Yeah.
Safety. It's the first one there. He says, pray for my safety. Because I'm going to Judah here in one of these verses. He says it, verse 31, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. Right. So he says, pray for my safety. Second thing, he says, pray for my service.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for my service. And that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. And then verse 32, that I may come unto you. He says, pray for my safety, my service, and my steps. That my steps, that I'll be guided and go and do what God wants me to do. And so those who share in the battle share in the blessing. Whether it's through monetary, carnal money, or whether it's in prayer, if you share in the battle, you share in the blessing. I wrote this down. People get excited about what they're invested in.
True.
You see somebody go up and get saved, and certain people just bawling, crying. Everybody's happy when somebody gets saved. But you see people that just get tore down over it. Why? Because they're invested. They pray. They witness to that person. They're part of their family. They're invested in that person.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get excited about the things we're invested in. And we don't ever pray, and we don't ever give, and we don't ever become a part of the work of the church, you probably ain't going to get too excited about what's going on.
Yeah.
And you probably ain't never going to really care a whole lot.
Just like this morning, Sister Peggy requested prayer for the Juliet.
Yeah.
That's our family. There would be 200 people praying for her today.
Right.
Invested.
When we're invested in something, we care. How many's ever prayed about something that somebody said to pray about, and then about 2 or 3 days later, you want to call? You're thinking, I need to call. I'm going to see how that thing's going. Or you're checking on it. You know why you're checking on it? Because you're praying about it. You're invested in it. You're dismissed. Have a good Easter.
The Bible said, then to go to battle, carry by the steps and hold on.
Same word.
What is it called? He's taking up
an offer. Always kind of want to be a baby.
I'm a Bible thing called most of the involvement.